with us this morning for the honor of the reading of the Word of God, found in John's Gospel, chapter number 6. We've been dealing with the phrase of I am. I sure am glad that the I am still is. We live in a changing world, but we preach in an unchanging Bible, preach about an unchanging God. In John's Gospel, chapter number 6, verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one where his disciples were entered, that Jesus went not with the disciples in the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh the place where they did eat bread, and after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they came unto him. And Rabbi, when camest, they say unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and you were filled. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, a phrase I'm interested in, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this time together. God, how good you've been to us. We want to say thank you. God, as Brother Chris is saying, I can say amen this morning. You have proved yourself to be faithful. I want to pray, God, especially as Sister Terry's already stood and asked, I want to pray for the lost people under the sound of our voice today. God, whether it be here in this church or by sound of radio, that God, you'd convict and you'd convince a heart that they are in need of the Savior. God, I realize this Bible teaches there's one way to God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray You'd open eyes this morning. I pray You'd do big things here today that only You, our great God, can do. Help us today, and we'll be grateful to You. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask You. Amen. And amen. I'm interested in the phrase where Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. We preached the thought with Abraham that where Lot was in trouble at the kings of Sodom, Abraham went down and there he released Lot, did battle with the kings of Sodom. God appeared unto Abraham and He said, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. I'm glad He still is the God of all of our battles. There are many of you who are battling things in life today. But I'm going to tell you, He's still the shield in our battle. And then we had spoke last Sunday, not only that of about our shield, God being the same God in our battle, but we talked a little bit about, He said, I am the God of Bethel. I'm glad that He's still the God of where we go to church in this day and this hour. But this morning I'm interested in not only He still is the God of the battle, the God of Bethel, but I want to say He's still the bread. Now, isn't it amazing as this crowd came unto the Lord? There they had partaken of the loaves and the fishes that God had broken. There the disciples had distributed. They came looking back for Christ. And He said, you've came here not so much about what I've done, but what I do for you. I think a lot of times that we get our blessing backwards. We begin to bless our blessing instead of praise our blesser. If it wasn't for the God that's sitting on His throne this morning, none of us would be here. I'm glad He's the giver of life today. And as He said, I am, I'm glad He still is. He's not taking answers from nobody. Nobody rules and reigns the God of this Bible, for there's nobody like our God. Oh, I sure am glad that Thy I Am still is. Now, you'll notice in verse 33 the Bible says, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus simply said in 35, I am the bread of life. I'd like to ask you today, and I won't be preaching long this morning, but I want to ask you, how's your life? I mean, really, we go through the motions many times in life, and it's amazing what we find ourselves who we lay down with. It's amazing to me who we find ourselves of who we get up with. Who we look in the mirror every day and we realize really there may be something there that people think it is, but deep down inside it's really not there. I'm glad today that the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. You know, people, a lot of times they have immune problems in their bodies and many of us cannot eat sweets, we cannot do this or that, but God puts something in front of everybody that nothing will ever take its place. We went down to the grocery store this week and I love saltine crackers. I don't even like the private labels. I like a good saltine cracker. And I noticed this week they started packing those in little bitty packages. They sure are good. I don't know about y'all, but where I live, a lot of times I'll eat two or three and I'll put it back in the closet. And when I pull it back out, the rest of them ain't even fit to eat because they've got stale. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? I told Miss Renee, I said, boy, this is a great design that somebody would put a little bit in a great big package in and then it'd be fresh every time I go to get one. But I notice this, we go down sometimes to a good restaurant, as good as I love crackers, they'll bring out that good hot bread and some butter. I don't care how much weight you're trying to lose, honey. It's hard not to get up in that bread dish and that butter dish and that olive oil. I love breaking bread. Can I tell you there's a God in the Bible that wants us to come to the house of God and break bread today? Yeah, I'm going to tell you there's enough for everybody to go around. I've been in some restaurants and enjoyed the bread, and the waitress wouldn't come by and bring me more. And she'd come back and say, well, as soon as we can get it made, we'll bring you some more bread. I come to tell you today, the great I Am, He's not on short supply. He's got everything that everybody needs today. He said, I am the bread of life. I'm glad Jesus said, for whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus shall be saved. I'm glad that He said He is the bread of life. I'm going to tell you, if you're hungry today, a cracker will not do, but the bread of life will give you something along life's way. I sure am glad that Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. I'm glad He's still saving old sinners in this day and hour that we live. Now begin to think, why would Jesus say, I am the bread? He could have said anything else, for He is the rock. He's the foundation that is solid. Jesus is the doorway to glory. He's everything that we'll ever need. But He made this statement, I am the bread. I sure am glad that He has what we need this morning. And I asked you in your life, I want to ask you first of all to be a good preacher to you. Are you saved? I'm not asking you, do you love Jesus? I'm not even asking you, do you believe in Jesus? The Bible said the devils in hell believe and tremble. But I want to ask you, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been born again by the sweet grace of God and you partook of this heavenly bread that will give you eternal life? This morning, three things I'll be done. Number one, there's the process of the bread. Bread, you just don't open the cupboard and reach in and get it. There's a process to get the bread there. I want to say there was a process going in heaven that me and you may be able to enjoy this heavenly bread. I want to say in verse 33, the Bible simply says this, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven. Now the bread is not in a Baptist preacher. The bread is not in a Catholic pope. The bread is not in religion, but bread is simply in the Lord Jesus Christ as He stands alone. Now, I want to say in this process of the bread, there had to be a time when a seed was planted, and as it began to sprout, that ear came forth, it grew up out of the ground. I sure am glad in this process that God sent His Son to this old world. He was born of a virgin. If your Bible says it was a young lady, you got the wrong kind of Bible. Because it's a big deal. God was born of a virgin. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And there Mary brought forth a child, the Lord Jesus, placed in a little lowly stable. There the Lord walked to and fro in this old world doing that which is right. He got about 33 years old and God put Him on an old rugged cross. He did things that no man ever did. Matter of fact, one of the Gospels said there's not enough books that could ever hold what could be written about the Lord. Only what we've got is just a little bit. But aren't you glad that we're headed to an eternal world to find out what God has done for us when we never knew nothing about it? Matter of fact, a lot of us shout about what God has done. We ought to shout about what He was doing when we weren't even looking. And what God's been doing for us every day of our life. God's been good to me. I say glory to the Lamb. I sure am glad that in the process of this bread that there was a bruising. Christ had to be bruised. As this corn was grown up out of the ground, before it could ever come into bread, it had to be bruised. It had to be beaten. As that corn came up, they had to make the meal or the flour in order to make this bread. Now I want to say in this process, Christ was bruised. In Isaiah chapter number 28 and verse 28, bread, corn is bruised. I'm going to tell you the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that He's our bread today, He had to be bruised. I am reminded, one of the greatest passages in your Bible, in Isaiah chapter number 53, the Bible said in verse number 3, He is despised. And let me tell you something, if you're going to live for Jesus, everybody's not going to like you. If you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you better be sure. Not only was He despised, but He was rejected of men. But He wasn't rejected of the Father. A lot of you are rejected by men, but glory to God, I'm glad we are accepted into heaven this morning. He said He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In verse 10, it's an amazing statement. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. And when thou shalt make His soul for an offering for sin. I'm going to tell you, in the preparation of this bread, in this great process of this bread, there had to be a bruising. And then secondly, it had to be a baking. I will remind you, when Jesus got on the cross, in that dark hour, where God turned the lights off in heaven, in darkness came the oven of God. It was prepared from heaven. There was such a wrath of God put upon His Son. It's amazing, when Jesus got on that cross, not only was He bruised and beaten, but He became bacon. You say, what do you mean, preacher? When God put Him on the cross and turned them lights out on heaven, there the wrath of God came on His Son so it wouldn't have to come on us. Honey, there's a payday coming someday for your sin and my sin. But I sure am glad Jesus took our sins on the cross, and therefore He was baked by the wrath of God on an old rugged cross. Bread was being made. I want to say that in this preparation of this bread, Christ was bruised, Christ was baked. But then thirdly, Christ was broken. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible said, containing that of the Lord's Supper, our church practices two ordinances that we feel like Christ left the teachings of the church. We believe in water baptism. After you've been saved by the grace of God, the Bible says we ought to be immersed. We go down as the old man. We've been raised up with the new man. Therefore, we have a testimony in the community that we live for Christ. The second ordinance is that of the Lord's Supper. Jesus allowed Paul to say something in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 24. The Bible said, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, as that bread is passed out and we break that bread, we are reminded that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, there He broke His body. He broke His life that He may pass it out. I'm going to tell you, I love what my pastor told me one time. Brother Mike, I was going through hard battles and hard circumstances, and God was breaking me down. My pastor told me in Mississippi, he said, I'll tell you one thing, Ken. The reason God is breaking you is so He can pass you around. I'm glad that God broke His Son, that He could pass Him around. I'm glad He come by my way one day in 1981, the Lord of Glory come by and offered unto me that of eternal life. I accepted Him by faith and was born again by the glorious grace of God. I've not always done what I should, but I'm glad I'm in the family of God today. I'm glad He said we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That day I got saved, honey, I got more than what I thought I was getting. I'm glad I got eternal life. I'm glad He wrote my name down yonder in glory land world. I'm glad the Holy Ghost walks in me and talks with me and goes every place I go. Just cause the Lord of Glory broke His only begotten Son and handed Him out to a lost and a dying world that we could have life and we could have it free. I don't know about you, but I love bread today. There's nothing like God's life-giving bread. Have you ever been saved? Boy, it'll change your life. I remember one day in 1981, I went over, matter of fact, where Brother David's mother was buried, where a funeral was, rather, at Macedonia. I went over there with Renee as a young man. I'd never been around a church that had life. I was raised in a church that was so dead, if somebody would have said amen, the building would have failed. I'm talking about the most excitement I've ever seen when the song leader fell asleep and he caught himself in the aisle and hollered amen when he jumped up. I'd never seen church. But hunted down in Florida. Somebody said nothing good happens in Florida. Well, I'm going to tell you, I went down there on vacation with my mama and daddy. I met one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. I met a little old girl from Bowden, Georgia, had been saved by the grace of God. Boy, I moved down and got married, and this was our deal. I'd go to the Church of Christ one Sunday. I'd go to the Baptist church with her next Sunday. I didn't like going to church because the churchgoer didn't live in me. Amen. I've noticed this, though, Brother Mike. When the churchgoer comes to live in you, you'll like going where church is at. I walked in down there in her church. I'd never seen a man get up and raise his voice. I've never seen a man act like he enjoyed going to church. It's always trudgery and drudgery. But honey, one great day the Lord came by and convicted me of my sin. And I'm grateful for the day that the Lord saved me that morning. I went down to Macedonia Baptist Church. I seen old man stand up by one of the windows. Never seen nobody stand up in church. He said, you know, after I got saved, I never even heard that word saved. He said, when I got saved, he said, even my milk cow looked different. He said, when I went home, that old dog I've been kicking off the porch, I reached down and said, hello, dog, I'm glad you're home today. What do you say? God will change everything about you. Brother Elmer Case in the church got me a picture of him. I sure am glad. He said, Brother Tim, go in there and get a picture of him in that red cabinet in the corner of that study stand. We'll show the church that this morning. The church got me a picture of Brother Elmer. He's in glory today. He is an old well digger in the community. Brother Elmer, Brother Jeff was pastor in the church over where I got saved. And one Saturday, God put on him to do something, Brother Jerry. He come down to Garrett's circle. And I'd seen this man, but I didn't know nothing about him. A lot of you may know him. But they brought me a picture of Him. He's in glory this morning. This old man of God got out of the car. Brother Gerald, I was doing pretty good when he got out, but when he stopped and he reached in the car and he grabbed something out, it got on my nerves. He got his Bible out. Oh, God love you, Brother Elmer. And he walked up to my door. And as bad as I'm ashamed, I sat there rolling up trying to get rid of all of my trouble. My Saturday morning tradition, all I was worried about was running out of weed my whole life. And the God of glory walked in. This is what He said. I took my dope, throwed it under the couch cushion. That old man of God come in and sat right down on top of my devil. Got to telling me about the dearest friend that I've ever had. He looked at me and he said, "Have you ever been saved?" And the Holy Ghost began to deal with my heart. That old man of God walked out of my house and God stayed. I went to bed and I found out what the old prophet meant when he said that the bed was narrow and the cover was short. The Holy Spirit of God began to deal with my heart. That Sunday morning, Brother Gerald, I went and I sat right over there where my son-in-law was sitting. That old man of God preached. I don't even know what he preached, but all I know, God had convinced me that I was going to die and go to hell without Christ. This is what he said. Everybody stand, and if you'd come to Jesus, He'd save you. And Megan Macy, when your daddy did that right there, my whole life changed. All because the bread of life was broken, that He could be distributed to my life and to your life, that would bring eternal life. Have you ever been saved? I'm not talking about, are you a good person? The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. You know, preachers, Brother Donald, you're probably the oldest preacher here. I asked a man the other day, an older pastor, I said, "Sir," I said, "in our churches, we don't see many people saved. Many people don't think about it. Turn to this word." He said, "Ken, when I was a young preacher in this part of the country, when somebody would die in a home, he said it would bring the fear of God on the whole community. People realize that death is real and we're going to meet God." He said, "That's what we're missing in our day in this era, is people realizing they're going to have to meet God with their sin." Let me tell you today the good news. You won't have to meet God with your sin. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ that took your sin. And if you'll believe upon Him, He'll take that sin and He'll wash it all away by His blood. And this morning, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, I don't know of a better day to be saved than this morning. I'm glad that that bread was broken, that it could be passed out. Notice this, and I'm done. Miss Sherry, come. And I want to say this today, not only the process of this bread, but there's the provision of this bread. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I sure am glad there's a provision of the bread God gave. He's here for you this morning. If you would believe in Him in faith, a lot of people say this, where does repentance come? The Bible says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. A person's got to be sorry of who they are and how they are and turn to Christ, repent of their sin and trust Him The Bible said you could be saved by the grace of God. There's the process of the bread. There's the provision of the bread. And I won't even get to this. But there's the procedure of the bread. This is what I want to tell you, what some of you are missing. You don't understand. Christ supplies. In John 6 and 48, back to that text verse, Jesus said something that I'm really interested in. He simply said this in John 6 and 48. He said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus died for you because He loves you. He said He's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. Christ supplies. You're talking about a quality and a quantity of life. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to go and take those treatments because I want the quality and quantity of life. Let me tell you, you know nothing about quality and quantity of life till you meet Jesus. Jesus can give you an inner peace that you've never had this morning. Christ supplies. Christ sustains. And then Christ satisfies. Last place I read, and I want to give an invitation this morning. Psalms chapter number 34. This is what I want to say. Psalms 34 and verse number 8. The Bible simply says this. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Stand all around the house this morning, Miss Sherry plays. If you need some help this morning, you come. Some of you ought to come pray.